This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. Today is our day of generosity. I really look forward to this day every year. I just want to reflect on how that syncs with our motto, which is to love God, love people, put love into action. Let's look at love God first. Now, there are some people in this world who don't believe in God. And if you're, you may well be watching and having doubts yourself, you're seeking, you're asking that question. Maybe you don't believe or you're not sure. I urge you to turn to him, if that's you, and just, you know, pray something like, God, if you're out there, reveal yourself to me, because I know he wants to do that. And God loves to reveal himself and build relationship with you. So ask. In some ways, it's easier to live without God in your life. You know, you don't have to answer some of those hard questions about who he is and why bad things happen. You don't have to answer the neuroscientific questions about how we think. You don't have to think about anybody else if you don't want to. But I think that a world like that is a cold, it's a lonely place to be. Richard Dawkins, who is sort of the arch atheist of the last couple of decades, wrote in his book, River Out of Eden, A Darwinian View of Life. He describes a world like that, like this. In a universe of electrons and selfish genes, blind physical forces and genetic replication, some people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get lucky. And you won't find any rhyme or reason in it, nor any justice. The universe that we observe has precisely the properties we would expect if there is, at bottom, no design, no purpose, no evil, no good, nothing but pitiless indifference. Oh, gosh. Well, that's not my personal experience of the world I live in. It doesn't feel like the world I want to live in. It doesn't match with my experience of what it's like, especially as I get to know God more. I know that there is a God. And it's not just a distant, remote God who watches our struggles from afar. This is a God who looks in upon us, looks upon his creation with love. He comes close. Let me just divert into some theology. There's some theological words to describe this God. We sometimes use the word transcendent, which means that he's all-powerful and eternal and beyond, but he's also immanent, which means he's personal and very now, transcendent and immanent. It's wonderful, God. And this is the God that Deuteronomy 6, verse 5 in the Bible, and lots of places in the Bible, we're encouraged and we're commanded to love. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I think it's an awesome thing that we're not only commanded to love God, but that we can do that. We are able to love him. We're able to orientate our life and our worship toward God. It's awesome. Through difficult times, it's also a really meaningful center to our lives, provides such a fulfillment, such relief, such purpose. We love God in many ways. Love God. It's the first part of our motto. We do that in many ways, and our gathering together to worship him in song and prayer and giving at Headingley Methodist Church, which is where we usually are, or online like we are now, is an expression of loving God. And as people watch us go in and out of Headingley Methodist Church or know about our commitment to this time together, it's a testimony to neighbours, to friends, to the good citizens of Headingley that we love God. So let us love God. The second part of our motto is to love people. Love God, love people. So when it dawns on you that God loves you, eventually you think, then God loves other people too. Now, wherever you are, if you happen to be near somebody, have a look at them. Yes, he loves even them.
God so loves the world and the people of the world that he sent his son Jesus to die for us and rescue us. And Jesus' first instruction was, love God. And then the second one was, love your neighbor. God's love is so overwhelming, so powerful, that as you learn to love him in your life and worship, it begins to spill out as you out of you as you love other people. Jesus gave us this command. He said in John 13, he says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, by that you love one another. I think he's making a point. Jesus said that people will know that we are his followers and lovers of God just because of the way we love one another. And the early Christians in the first and second centuries convinced people of the validity of their faith because of the way they loved one another and the way they loved the unlovely, the rejects of society. Now, we love people in many, many ways. One of the main ways we do that, loving one another, is by our commitment to small groups. That's why we make such a big thing of it. I know there are lots of good reasons or lots of understandable reasons why we can't, well, we struggle sometimes to commit to a small group. You know, why would you want to commit to a bunch of people you may not even know at the outset? I haven't got time. I'm afraid of what this might mean. I'm a bit defensive about who I am and that they may not like me. Or they won't like me or they're not like me. But I've found over the years that week in, week out encounter with other people, whether I'm tired, whether I'm feeling great, whether I'm stressed or whether I've got time or whether I haven't got time, that giving and receiving, the learning to know and love other people and to be known and loved by them, it's in that place that deep healing comes, that personal growth comes. That's where I change and grow up and deal with life. So we seek to love God. We seek to love one another, love people. And then finally, we do love in action. Love God, love people, love in action. Our faith is not just a personal salvation thing, you know, pie in the sky until we die. Your love of God is worthless unless it is followed by love in action. James, who was Jesus' brother, when he wrote his letter, he's pretty brutal about it, really. He just says, faith without deeds is dead. And he reiterates that. Now, our theme for this year is heart to heart. And it's all about justice and restoring relationships. And as we've explored justice, we've been compelled to engage in some very practical action areas, love in action. Things like we've been hammering away at the racial discrimination thing, at caring for God's earth, looking at modern slavery, and there are other issues that we're looking at in the background. And we've formed some, we've called them Kingdom Passion, some task forces whose job it is, I suppose, to hold our feet to the fire to ensure that we put love into action. I think our main, sort of our biggest obvious love in action exercise is Vineyard House. I explained this last week when I was talking about Treasures in Heaven. This is an old building that we bought and we're renovating it so that we can give an expression to our heart of compassion. That may be offering mental health services. It may be providing a safe place for children and young people and the elderly. It may be just a place of prayer and a hub from which we can serve the community and demonstrate God's love. That's all the things that we will be doing there. And as we give our money and time and energy to Vineyard House, we're expressing our love for God and we're seeking his justice because we love people and we want to put that love into action. So as we invest in that building, we're joining in with God's justice purposes. And under that roof and through those doors, the people of the Vineyard will be putting love into action for decades to come. love God, love people, love in action. Now, one way we can do that stuff, that love in action stuff, is by making a financial gift. Words into action sometimes is money. And but today, Day of Generosity, it's not about me, it's not about the Vineyard House, it's not even about the church. It's about us joining together, whether we're putting in the pound or the £1,000 into what called a common pot, our joint Thanksgiving offering. And we're putting love into action by very practically giving that to three charities that have touched, that touch on those three main areas of justice that we've been looking at over the last few months. In a few moments, we're going back to Anne, who's going to introduce those three to us in more detail. But before we do that, we're going to sing, and we're going to we'll come to worship a bit more later on. But we're just going to start off with a worship song, because I think worship and music and the song and financial gifts, they go together. It's an act of worship. And Ian's going to, in a moment, lead us in a song as we prepare our hearts and minds and wallets and purses to give. Let me pray, and then I'll hand over to Ian to lead us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given us, materially, spiritually, our lives, our salvation. When we seek justice, we know that when we seek justice, when we seek to be generous, it's like a magnet for your presence. And we invite you to come at this moment as we seek you in worship and as we seek the justice of your mission. We want to learn to love people. We want to put love into action, and our making of financial gifts is just the start of the way we do that, perhaps. I want to say thank you for all you've done for us, for all you've given us. And here is our offering in response. We love you. We worship you. We bring our gifts to you. Amen.